In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is now the Sunday before Nativity, the Sunday of the Holy Fathers. Last Sunday was the Sunday of the forefathers, those who had prophesied, and the holy ones of the Old Testament that were not necessarily related to our Lord by blood. And now the Sunday of the Holy Fathers, those who are directly related to Him by blood. And so we have this reading from St. Matthew, which is, when I was younger, it was called the Begats. And because it's each one begat the other. And then also the story of the birth of Christ is appended to Matthew's Begats. Now, there's a lot of names here, a lot of very complicated names, especially during the Babylonian captivity, some of whom we know very little about, but many of these people we know a lot about. Now, we live in an invisible world, you know. Most of what is true is invisible. Most of what matters is invisible. You don't see it with your eyes. You don't smell it with your nose. You don't hear it with your ears. It is in the heart. And most of what is important passes by without people seeing it. And so it is with the genealogy of our Lord. There are invisible truths in it that you only understand if taken as a whole. Now, the basic major truth that is present in the genealogy of Christ. In fact, it is a dogma that is expounded more fully by St. Paul, that he was like in us and always save sin. Completely human just as we are. Took on all of our sins and purified us, made us capable of becoming holy. He couldn't have done that unless he was completely human. And the genealogy shows this because just about every sin you can think about is in this genealogy. People that were willing to give up their wife, pretending she was a sister because they were afraid. People that had committed adultery and murder. Prostitutes. A man who went into his daughter-in-law thinking that she was a prostitute. So that because the daughter-in-law, Tamar, wanted to be able to have a child, and he wouldn't allow her to marry his youngest son. And foreigners, people who were pagans outside of the truth, such as Ruth. Many other sins. Our Holy Father Jacob didn't always act in a holy way. He was rather tricky and sometimes disingenuous. We see all sins, all human sins, are represented by the genealogy of Christ. He took on all of it. And that's sort of an invisible truth, because it isn't stated baldly in the genealogy, but if you know the history of these people, then you will know that this is what it means. And there's other theological, beautiful theological things that are present in this genealogy. St. Matthew goes to great pains to have it divided into 14 generations three times. And he actually, to be frank, plays a little bit of a trick in order to be able to have one of the 14 generations be 14, because he counts the deportation to Babylon, the traveling, as a generation. But then there's theological meaning to all these things. But the major thing we should glean is the Lord Jesus Christ took on our humanity. All of it. And He wasn't afraid of any of it. And He loved us. All of us. Every bit of us. Every part. So that He wanted it to become clean. And that's the only way for our humanity to become clean was for Him to become man, to live as a man, to show us how to live, to tell us how to live as well, and then to live in that way, and then to make us capable of living in that way. So that's all contained in the genealogy. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was then described. And sometimes small things in the scriptures mean a lot. So it says when Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, before they were married, and we know actually that they never did marry, but before they were married, she was found to be with child. And the scripture says, of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's Matthew's parenthetical remark. That's not what people believed. They believed that she was just yet another young girl who got pregnant. And Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was about 90 years old at this time, had raised a family, and his wife had died. And he was chosen because of his purity, his righteousness, his humility, to take care of this virgin who had lived in the temple. And eventually, when they become of age, when they went through puberty, they couldn't live in the temple anymore. And then they would be married and raise a family. But Mary was different than everybody else. And Joseph was found to take care of her, to be her protector, not to be her husband. Sometimes the services call her Mary's non-husband husband, because he was not really a husband, but he was a protector. And so when he found out about this, of course, what would he think? What we would think? She got pregnant by some man. I mean, he wasn't clairvoyant. Of course he thought this. So what did he want to do? Well, according to the law, he could have exposed her and she would have been stoned to death. But he was a righteous man. So it says, Joseph being a just man, just means righteousness, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to divorce her privately so that she wouldn't be getting trouble and that he wouldn't break the law. There's a lot present in this statement, because Joseph had been betrayed by this woman. It was within his rights to publicly censure her. And even if he didn't publicly censure her in such a way that she would be stoned, certainly to shame her. But instead, he put her away privately, or he was planning to do so. Remember what I tell you, the world has a lot of invisible things. It was the righteousness of Joseph that made him capable then of hearing from an angel that indeed this was the Christ. He would be called Jesus and save people from their sins, and that he should carry on with this betrothal and take care of her. Really a great risk to himself. A lot of invisible things in the world. It was Joseph's righteousness and purity and his kindness that is evident here. And so we must be righteous and pure and kind. A lot of little things in the world that are really not so little, they're actually very big. And he was just willing to be kind to a young woman, probably 14 years old, 15 years old, who was big with child, or beginning to be big with child. And he didn't want to shame her. He didn't want to harm her. Certainly, he still would have taken care of her. He just wouldn't have been become her husband. There's a lot of lessons there for us. A lot of lessons in all of the Nativity story. And sometimes different things on different days, perhaps different years, touch us in a different way. Today, when I was reading this, I was thinking, really, you will make it through life if you're kind. If you're just kind, if you just think of others. And then God will enlighten you. And Joseph was enlightened. It was certainly a confusing time. Let's not minimize it. It was a confusing and dangerous situation. He didn't want her to be killed. But then again, he felt that she had committed adultery. And as a righteous man, he couldn't abide with that. So he had a real conundrum, a real difficulty. We have things like that all the time. And I tell you, always solve your difficulties with kindness. It is never wrong to be kind. Even if perhaps you make a mistake in judgment by being kind, it is always to the good to be kind. Now, of course, kindness doesn't mean that we just allow people to do anything, that we never discipline, that we never rebuke. That's not kindness. That's just foolishness. But in your heart, you must be kind. And if you have a good and kind heart, then you can make the right judgments about things. And Joseph had a good and kind heart. And so in this confusing time, he was going to be kind. Really, there's no way to overestimate this virtue. I've told you before many times, if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Because if you can't be kind, you're not like God at all. And nothing will follow. No virtues can come to you if you're not kind. So remember this. Joseph was a kind man. He was compassionate. He cared about someone that he thought had committed a great sin. So we should be also. And for Joseph, it turned out, it worked out for him. The angel talked to him, and he took care of the family until just before Christ was to begin his public preaching, and then he died. But sometimes when we're kind to others, it doesn't work out. In fact, a lot of the times it doesn't. Not in an obvious way. You know, you be kind to people that abuse you, and they might abuse you more. And you might have greater losses. Greater temporal losses. But the eternal gain, that invisible gain, will be great. So learn to live life looking at the invisible. Things people can't see or taste or touch. Sometimes the things even you can't feel, and that give you really no consolation, but you just know what is right to do. We should do what's right. We should do what's kind, regardless of what happens because of it. And God will bring enlightenment. You know, the gospel stories, even the historical ones like this that are not really a parable, can be thought of as a parable. This is a little slice of life. This is a microcosm of how our life should be. There is confusion. But with confusion, if there is kindness, if there is fidelity, if there is compassion, there will come enlightenment. In this case, it happened perhaps in a few days. It happened. But it represents our life. Confusion in our life, difficulties in our life. But if we go through the confusion and difficulties in our life with kindness, always looking to the invisible, always looking to God, what His will would be, act as He would in this life, then there will come enlightenment. Of course, perhaps it might come much later than the things that we are going through, but it will come. And that's a dogma too. Enlightenment will come. Communion with God will come. Peace will come. But only if we struggle to be peaceful. Only if we struggle to act as the Lord acted. So remember this. The world is so unkind, so petty, so full of foolishness. And it's a terrible thing to see. But it's more terrible to see it when it's in our own hearts. Get rid of that in your heart. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Because God will not save you unless you struggle to be good and kind to others. Unless you are able, even if you don't have much wisdom or vision, always look to what is inside. Because there's something inside that you're not seeing that's obscured by the outside, whatever it is. A circumstance or a personality or a person. There's something in there that you need to see. You will not see it unless you'll be like Joseph and think of the other person. It's fascinating to me that this part of the Nativity story has been preserved, because really it's sort of an extraneous and incidental detail. But it's not incidental. Let's face it. All of us go through times of confusion, difficulty, let's say even anger, disillusionment. But if we are people that love, then we will find our way. The Lord will bring us enlightenment. It's all that's important, is to be enlightened by God, is to know God intimately. So let's strive to be like Joseph. Let's strive to see the inner reality of things. And even if we don't see the inner reality, because he didn't see all of it, right? He didn't know that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit until he was told. Even if we don't see the inner reality, let us live by faith. And let that faith be that we will be as the God-man Jesus Christ is, and as Joseph is, be kind to others. Amen.